Our Father, we stand in faith together to receive the revelation that is found in your Son. Our minds are receptive. Our hearts are ready. We are not distracted. There's no confusing crowd. Our hearts together behold Jesus your Son as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Alright, we have some study this morning, so you know, you just have to have your seatbelt on, right? And we're going on a jetliner. Praise the Lord. This morning we began a study on the demonstration of the Spirit and power, how the gospel is preached. And we ended up by looking at the fact that the gospel must not be innovated. It's not subject to an innovation. It's not subject to what you think. We said it's not historical facts being proven. It's not archaeological facts being discovered. It's not scientific confirmation. The gospel is Christ's history told by the Spirit alone. We said the truth about it is Christ alive after he died. That's what brings faith for salvation. That's been emphasized. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 quickly. 1 Corinthians 15 and then verse 1 to 3. Paul opens up 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 to 3. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." That's just a simple sentence ended there. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Then he says he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now, notice those facts are the incontrovertible facts called the gospel. Then he goes further in verse 10. He says, look, I'm a preacher of this message. Not as a function of skill. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. In other words, he says, to communicate this message, it's the grace of God. It's not training in school. It's not oratory. It's not a craft. It's the grace of God. The word there's charis, which is something God gave without merit or qualification. Now look at something very important that he stresses in 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. That is, the power of the message is a resurrected Christ. Or else it's just like any other thing you hear on television. If Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain. Now, Greek scholars have said this, and rightly so, that there was a way Paul framed that word risen that is not a past tense. Again, in 17, he repeats the word. It is the word egerio, E-G-E-I-R-O. It's indicative of a present continuous to say that, he is rise. Not like he rose. Like he is arise. Allow my bad grammar, but it's just the Bible language. That he is arose. Or he is alive. That's all. That Christ is alive. So he preaches it as a past tense with a present tense indicative. It's not historical in the sense that it's just something that happened. It's a fact of now, even though it's something that happened. That is, he uses the term that Christ is alive now. That is the message that we preach. And earlier on we said in John 16, verse 7 and 8, that Jesus, talking about the Spirit, says he will show this truth to the world. And we saw that John 16 dealt with the ministry of the gospel. If you weren't in the first service, I believe that tomorrow, Tuesday, you should have this teaching online to listen to. Now, in Matthew 28, we'll just run through that quickly. Verse 18 to 19, we stressed that in the first service. He says, go into all the world and make disciples. And we said the word make disciples is the word mathetuo. So like put people in a school. So the preaching of the gospel is not an emotional thing. It's the same way you don't get into a class where you ought to teach mathematics and you just feel you should teach integrated science if you're teaching the primary school. No, no, no. It's a deliberate training that has a curriculum. So he says, you make disciples of every nation. In other words, it's a singular message for everybody. There is no message that is tailored to anyone specifically. Jew, Gentile, great and small, rich and poor. They hear the same truth. They are to enlist in this school the same way. Make disciples of every nation. The word ethnos refers to people from different backgrounds, language, culture, tribe. He says, anywhere you get to, this is the same message. And we looked at that word, and to teach them, verse 20, Matthew 28, the things I have commanded you, the word didasco, again, it is a dedicated teaching. Matthew 28, 20. The things I have commanded you, the word entolomai, we saw that in the first service. It means what I have done. Lo, I am with you. Teaching them to observe the things I have done. Lo, I am with you till the end of the age. Again, don't forget that we also looked at the word preach, keruso. Listen carefully now. Mark 16:15. Go and preach the gospel. Luke 24:47. Repentance, and I'm just reviewing the first service. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name. And we said the word keruso is like a newscaster. You're not supposed to tell us your opinion. Now, if there's an analysis where you're called to a program to say your view, fine. But if you are meant to read news, you are meant to say what is given to you. And that's the word, preach the gospel. You are not meant to have entertainment or have a skill to it. You are not meant to have a viewpoint to it or an experience to it. You are meant to preach what you are given to say. Keruso. Again, the word is used in there. We looked at the word in John 20:20 from verse 21. As my Father have sent me, so have I sent you. Then we now saw the word in 22. He breathed and said, receive ye the Spirit. The word emphosau and lambano, we saw that in the first service. That when he breathed, it wasn't that he put his nostrils on their head and went, hum. The word emphosau there is something that happened inside of them. It's what happened inside of them. Emphosau is actually their own breathing, not his own breathing. They came alive inside. Their understanding of scriptures came alive. And we saw that as reiterated in Luke 24 and 45. And also, they received. We saw the ministry of the Spirit as well. Now, listen carefully now. This is vital. That in John 16, which we read in the morning, earlier in the morning, verse 7 to 10, into verse 15, Jesus was talking about the preaching of the gospel. When he says he will convince the world of sin, that is via preaching. Of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is already judged. And we said that he is referring to his resurrection. That the scriptures in there, we read that from John 15:25-26-27. He was relating with his resurrection and with the ministry of the gospel. It had nothing to do with a personal revelation or a personal encounter. We saw that in the first service. Now, in proceeding further, it's a fact that the gospel is a message. It is not a reaction. It is not a situational discussion. No. It's not. That's why you don't ask your audience before you preach it. You don't say, well, we discovered that there's a problem in Lagos State. What's the problem? That young boys are taking codeine and tramadol. Then you say, that means the Lord is calling me to reach out to them. Now, they're not wrong in that. You can do that, you know, of your own volition. I have things I do that are not spiritual in nature. In fact, I organized some people to mentor some folks from their GSS1 to the SS3, such that we'll provide teachers for them. And some of them are Muslims, some of them are idol worshippers, and I'm not preaching the gospel to them. I'm just doing a social work, okay? That's not the gospel. I mustn't expect to stand before Jesus and receive a reward for that. That's just humanity. I don't have to be a Christian to do that. Of course, the school I'm referring to was my alma mater. It just makes sense to do that. But you see, you don't now say, oh, people are taking drugs. Ah, we need to do something about it. We need to do something about it now. We need to do something about it immediately. And then what you do, then we go to around people and we're going to tell them, don't take drugs, take Christ. No. You are not preaching the gospel. You're trying to solve a problem. No problem. It's fine. But you are not preaching. Jesus never thought he was saving anybody when he gave them bread and fish. He never assumed he was doing that. And so neither should you. So that's not the gospel. Let's go further. You know, it makes sense. So the facts of the resurrection is the message itself. The fact in his raw form, unaltered, unrevised. So, Jesus, therefore, we saw that in the first sentence. He gave an empowerment. He says in Luke 24:49, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." In Acts 1:8, he says, "You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And we said that. That means that the message and the ability to communicate the message are given. You don't say, "Well, what can I do to preach the gospel?" No. It's what has he given us to preach the gospel. You don't devise a means. It is not given to you to do. Don't devise means. We're going to see a couple of things in a moment. I said this in the first service. In the days of Jesus, in that time, the four gospels, I told you earlier that creative arts, theater, writing, comedy, music, entertainment, sport preceded the coming of Christ. And he did not employ one, not even by the side, not even when he attempted to preach by parables. He didn't employ them. Because the gospel is not just a message, it is his own method. The gospel, don't say, "Well, is the message just the way we go about it may differ?" No! There is no such liberty given to anybody. And let me say this. No matter how a lie has gone on, no matter how many millions celebrated, it's only a celebrated lie. Are you still out there? So, he says, "Go." And you see, look at that Mark 16:15. "Go into all the world." It looked like he just said, "Go and do whatever. You know, just go." No. We said in the first service that we need to capture everything he said around that instruction. In Matthew 28:18, "Authority is given to me." Authority. There's authority. In Luke 24:49, "You shall be clothed with power from on high." There's power in the going. In Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power after when the Holy Ghost has come upon you." In John 20:22, he says, "Receive of the Spirit." In other words, it's not just a go. There is an ability in the mission that he gave to the church. Look at Romans 16 again. So, firstly, there is a message. And that message does not differ from person to person. Number two, there is an ability. It also does not differ. Romans 16, verse 26, 25. "Now to him there is all power to establish you according to my gospel." And watch this. He says, "The preaching of Jesus Christ." Remember the word keruso. The word keruso means to announce like a newscaster. Now the word preaching here is the word kerugma. K-E-R-U-G-M-A. It is the very noun of keruso. It's a particular message. So when he says the preaching of Jesus Christ, that means the message is the message of Jesus Christ. A definite message. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't get altered with situation. And it's for all nations. And Paul uses the word, the revelation of the mystery. The word apocalypsis, which already shows revelation. Let's go. Let's leave that out a bit. When he uses the word preaching, it's used by Jesus in Matthew 12:41 and Luke 11:32 for the preaching of Noah. The message of Noah. Matthew 12:41 and Luke 11:32. You see that message? Look at it. In Jonah 3:5 and Jonah 4:1-2. Jonah 3:5 and Jonah 4:1-2. In other words, a specific message. Jonah went to tell them about the kindness of God. A specific message. It's not, you're going to, you just okay, when I get there, I will know what to say. Mm-mm. Before I get there, I have been given what to say. I'm not going to be cowed by the intellectual prowess of those I see, or their illiteracy, or their stiff-neckedness. It has no, it has no bearing at all. It's a message that has no alteration based on the situation. Let's go further. He says, the preaching of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, which we are going to consult in a moment. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Paul says, for after, let's take it together. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let's go together. I'll wait for you. Let's go. Okay, I'll take it one more time. Let's go. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God by the foolishness of the kerygma. Paul uses this word so frequently in 1 Corinthians 2:4. He says, my speech and preaching. My speech and kerygma. It's not by the enticing words of the wisdom of men. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, he says, then is our preaching vain. Our message. Our message. How many of you have ever delivered a message before? You should have. Someone says, go tell this person so and so. Well, I was in the butt now, so I knew how to give messages. And sometimes you are told to say something. And you know, sometimes you're told to announce and just say to everybody, say, all from one boys, they need you. A so-and-so person needs you at the, maybe you say the dining hall by 4 o'clock. And there's some names that when you mention them, everybody begins to vibrate. At the mention of their name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses. So as you say, you don't say, hello, because in my school, we don't call people senior or something. So you can say, Asalu said, that's the name actually, that's the name above all names. You say, Asalu said, because he's called Egon Asha by his own classmates. So, I mean, I got to Form 1 and I saw a secondary school student shave. Something I saw my father do. I said, where am I? He's upper six. You know, he's doing like this. I said, this is trouble. Daddy is in this school. Anyway, you know, say, Ashalu said, you can come to the dining hall. Depends on how you perceive, you know, to go about it. You can choose to see him at the dining hall or the prep class or the field. You can come at 4 or 4:30, depending on how you feel. But I can rest assured you, or you start to sing a song. Bam, 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 bam. Come to dining hall. Bam, 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 bam. If you like, you don't like. He'll kill you. You know what I mean? It's a figure of speech. But the point is, you were giving a message. Have you ever been told to paste a notice before or post it? And then you go there and they say, post something on the wall, a notice that says, everybody should do so in your office. And say, well, we have a management meeting by 6 o'clock. Then you put, management meeting by 6 o'clock, signed, you say, by the MD. Then you now draw Mickey Mouse. Be rest assured that you see HR that day. Your job is to just put it there. So I say, but why? Why does he want to see us at 4 o'clock? I'm going home. Don't say, well, I really don't agree with sin at 4 o'clock, as the MD has said. But it's the MD, sha. What can we do? You know, you can't do that. You just have to put it there. Praise the Lord. That is the word kerugma. You didn't call for Christ to die. You can't determine what saves. So, it's a preaching, a specific preaching. So if Christ is not raised from the dead, then our message is vain. In 2 Timothy 4:17, preaching, pardon me, might be fully known message. 2 Timothy 4:17. In Titus 1:3. But in due times, manifested his word through preaching. God's method is what we're reading. He manifested his word through preaching. Mark 16:20. They went forth and preached everywhere, and God walking with and confirming the message with signs following. So it's not a response to human needs. No. That is why it is a universal truth. Whether it's a prosperous country, or a morally bankrupt country, or a poor nation, that's why you don't think, if you travel out of the country, for example, and I was talking to someone, and the guy told me, he said, I am a gay. You know, he thought I'll get freaked out. Of course, he's American, Caribbean, but American. Then he thinks I'll go, I said, oh, you are? He said, yeah. Okay, fine. If you had said, I've never lied, I'll say the same thing. If you had said, I've never stolen anything before, I'll still say the same thing. It's not, I'm gay, and I say, then I open to Genesis, Sodom and Gomorrah. No. It's not a reaction. It's not a meeting of need. Somebody comes, somebody tells you, well, you know, the truth of the matter is that this is how we do evangelism. We just go under the bridge. Then we look at, you know, people there, they are very hungry. So we take Indomie. You know I was going to say Indomie. We take Indomie. If it's not Indomie, it's not Indomie. Take Indomie, then we give them. And they say, then we give them clothes. Then we now take them to church. That's humanitarian. And it's commendable. But did you discover that Jesus did not give humanitarian support for us to go into all the world? He gave a message. And that's very important. I discovered that as people get much more exposed and enlightened, they think they can enlighten the gospel. As they travel around the more and they have more money and they are more exposed, more educated, they now want to educate the gospel. But the point is, it's not a response to human needs. It's a specific message. Look at Jesus. Jesus is so focused that in Luke 12, they called him. Look at Luke 12. Somebody came to him. You know, he thinks Jesus will solve every problem. So he comes to Jesus and he says, Master, Luke 12, me and my brother, we've been to the probate registry. And my dad left a land for us, Luke 12, verse 13, properties. And somehow my brother is trying to cheat me, and he's taking some land that, you know, belongs to me or something like that. Master, speak to my brother, he says, Luke 12, 13, that he may divide the inheritance with me. All right. What an opportunity to reach the guy. You want to solve a problem? Then you go, oh yeah, no problem. Come with me. They go meet the brother and say, thiefing is not good. They go to that's Proverbs 22:28, I think. And you say, forsake not the ancient landmark. And the guy says, you see, it's not good. Don't take what doesn't belong to you.
Thank you, sir.
Say so. You want to give your life to Christ? Say so. I've helped you too. I've already given my life to Christ. He's done it.
No. Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? That's not my office. Now, is it wrong to settle disputes? No. But that is not his office." Do you know, Jesus is such a bad news. Look at the next thing he says. "Take heed and be well, covetousness. I came to tell you to give me what is due to me." And he says, "Beware of covetousness." Jesus will not have much followership among some places today. He doesn't fit into your mold. No, brother, you fit into his. He said, "I'm not going to do that." Then he launches a series on covetousness. You know where he lands to? The rich fool. The guy will have said, "What did I say? What did you throw?" How's that in English? Is that good transliteration? Okay, what did I carry? What did you throw? Okay, that's a better way to say it. You know, but that's just it. He doesn't meet our needs. What we think is our needs. No. In John 11, John got so frustrated. John asked him, "Are you the one?" Matthew 11. "Are you the one to come?" Because you wonder, what's he looking at? And you need to realize that when the epistles were written, and the period where the things happened, and the four gospels, it was a time of the Roman government. It was a time of the Roman government. A time of tyranny. Or tyranny, depends on where you come from. And here's Jesus. John is arrested for saying the truth. Not the gospel, the truth. He goes to Herodias and Herod, and he says, "You should not do that. How can you take your brother's wife?" No, that's like preaching it wrong. Speaking the truth to power. He spoke the truth to power. And they put him inside power. And Jesus said nothing about it. And so John is in prison. He says, first year, what's going on? What's going on? This gospel is not relevant. Are you the one to come? Or should we expect another? He said, "Go tell John. The sick are healed. The lame walk. The blind see. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended in me." Always know the office of ministry. Is there anything wrong in somebody advocating, "We no go agree, oh, we go free John today. We no go agree." No. You can do that. You can do that. I mean, if I was not a preacher of the gospel, I'm very sure I'll be a social activist. I'm very sure about that. I'm too sure about that. I'm probably going to say, "No, let's do this one. No, let's do that one." But glory be to God, I'm not there. That's just you. That's just you. It's just your chosen career. But Jesus simply says, "I came for a purpose." That's what I came for a purpose. In Acts 1, he had just done 40 days, if we assume all that, with his disciples. After teaching them in verse 3, the kingdom of God. So say the kingdom of God. Now I want to let something sink into your heart. Look up. Don't write. You will say after me 3 times. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of God is spiritual. This kingdom of God is spiritual. Let that sink deep. He preached the kingdom of God to them. It was at variance with the kingdom of men. And of course, the typical Jew, they've enjoyed governance. They've enjoyed, you know, roughshodding nations all over the world. Hey, 3,000 will die. So the Jews were used to that kind of a kingdom. And so after Jesus had done series, where's his service? First and second service? Christ camp meeting? Believers convention? WCC? Zonal meeting? Fellowship meeting? Fortress? After he had taught them, you know what he told them? In verse 5, he says, not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That is, I've given you the message. This is the method. This is the power. And then, there was a Holy Ghost. Okay. Holy Ghost. Okay. Holy Ghost. That spirit. Okay. Thank God for spirit. Look at the next question. And therefore, when they were come together, that is, they had discussed it amongst themselves. It seems like Master is forgetting a crucial teaching. Yes, did you observe it too? I observed it. You know, I understand the exegesis and love the exegesis. I mean, kingdom of God in our hearts. We are born of God. We are in heaven. Yes, but he's missing something. You know, and he's going. Let's quickly remind him so that it will be written. So they all came together. Master, I want to see you. What about? He said, thank God for the teaching. We're so blessed for Living Word Media. I'm so... I mean, my life has changed. When people start talking like that, I know they are going somewhere. When I listened to forgiveness of sins and eternal of sins, it was mind blowing. However, sir, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That was their need because they were under tyranny. The word restore is the word apokathistemi. A-P-O-K-A-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. A-P-O-K-A-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. It is used for regaining what was lost. In Matthew 12:13. Matthew 17:11. Matthew 12:13, Matthew 17:11, Mark 3:5, and Mark 8:25. It's often used for healing. For example, somebody lost his eyesight, he regains it again. He lost his hearing, he regains it again. Matthew 9:12. Luke 6:10. I'll take it again. Matthew 12:13, Matthew 17:11. Mark 3:5. Mark 8:25. Sorry, Mark 9:12, not Matthew. Mark 9:12 and Luke 6:10 and Hebrews 13:19. That is, give us what was existing before. Can we have a king again? Can we have soldiers? Can we have economic power, military strength? Can we be the commanding voice in the nations? That means that what they were saying was not in his teaching. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on. It wasn't present in what he was saying. It didn't try to meet their needs. He defined what their needs were by what he taught. And when he was done, look at the response. Sometimes the verses confuse us. The next thing he says, it is not for you. That is the answer. In the Greek, the word not is the word O-U-K. It's an emphatic negative. That is no! That is no, no. That is a no, no. In other words, it's not going to happen. That is not it. He said, it is not for you. No. However, the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. He makes a distinction between their kingdom and the Father's kingdom. He uses the word times and seasons. The word times is the word chronos, which means an arrangement and order. Don't forget the times, the prophecies, the incarnation, the burial of Christ, and his resurrection, which he has put in his own power. The word seasons is the word kairos, which is the word opportunity. And he mentions the word authority. And what is he talking about? The next statement is what the Father has put in his own power. You shall receive what?
That is, he reemphasized what he said in verse 4 and verse 5. The promise of the Father. You shall receive power after with the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Witness for my kingdom. Witness for what I have done. Be the bearers of what I have done. Again, they are to preach a particular message. That is why I showed you in the first service. Check all the sermons in the book of Acts. We'll check them again. Nothing was said about Israel. Nothing. Nothing about kingdoms. Nothing against the Roman government. Nothing against Caesar. Nothing against Nero later on. Nothing against Agrippa. Nothing against Felix. Nothing against Festus. Nothing. Nothing about them. Nothing. Nothing about commerce. Nothing about the commercial business. Nothing about slavery. Nothing about freedom. No. It is not for you. Who's following what I'm saying here? So, he defines not just the message. See in a moment. He also defines the method. He says it's the power of the Holy Ghost. So the very first sermon is in Acts 2. Peter gets up with the 11. And then he says, men and brethren, in verse 14. I showed in the first service. He now begins to quote the scriptures. Look at Peter's sermon from verse 14 to 37. It is Christ-centered. All he spoke about was Christ. His sufferings, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, what he gave. He never, in fact, he didn't exactly even address their question. He didn't go into a detailed teaching on tongues. He didn't try to, it's not like that. This thing is going to empower us for commercial exploits. No. As soon as he quoted Joel, he just hopped on verse 21 and 22. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he stayed on that. Who is that Lord? Then he began to explain from prophet to prophet to prophet as that Lord is Christ. Who's following what we're saying here now? He doesn't have another message but what Jesus gave them to preach. Pay attention. In verse 37, watch this. When they heard, someone say, when they heard. What did they hear? They heard Jesus. When they heard, they were pricked in their heart. The word there is the word katanuso. K-A-T-A-N-U-S-S-O. K-A-T-A-N-U-S-S-O. It means to be pierced by the side. To feel a pain or to have a feeling. Matthew 27:49 and John 19:34 uses it for the crucifixion of Christ. How they pierce something to your side. You know how you get injections, you know, and they put, and you feel it. You know, my mom, she was a nurse, she retired, and she used to give us injections. And she had a very, very mean way she did it. Sometimes she will give you, you know, those syringes, she will do like four. And then she's doing, and I'm screaming, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she sprinkles the thing right in my mouth. Chop. My brother used to take the same thing. He became so skilled that he's joking and he's taking four injections. So he doesn't have a katanuso. I used to have it regularly. So it's something that you feel. Do you notice that he never addressed individuals? He only preached Christ. And in their hearts, which is the direction of the Spirit work. Notice that the reaction was the same. Everyone, that is, the response of the gospel is the same thing. These are thousands of people. And they had a unison reaction because it's the same message. And then they asked, what shall we do? Then he said, repent. The word metanoeo, we saw that in the first service, M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. It means change your mind. Exactly what Jesus did to them in Luke 24:45 to 47. Change your mind. That's what they did. What just happened? Did Peter say anything extraordinary? No. But the event he described was extraordinary. Jesus raised from the dead. And is not alive in any planet. He's alive here now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he preached that. And it happened. Boom. And the Bible says, watch this. 3,000 of them. Peter did not try to demonstrate. He didn't try to show a drama. He didn't try to say, Mary, mother of Jesus. Do you have girls? Call them. Mary, hold on. Everybody say, uh-uh. You see, this is what Jesus will do in your life too. Oh, Jesus. Peter preached just like Jesus told them to do. You leave the saving grace to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He will convince men. When you use his words, he simply used the Spirit's words for the Spirit's work. And look at what happened. You learning something? Verse 41. Then they that had gladly received the word were baptized the same day. They were added to them about 3,000. Look at the word received. It's the word apodekomai. Apodekomai. It means to welcome, to embrace it. To welcome something. To embrace it. To welcome it. They didn't determine what he said. To welcome it. You see that word in Acts 18:27. Acts 21:17. Acts 24:3. Pay attention. And Acts 28:30. Acts 18:27. Acts 21:17. Acts 24:3. Acts 28:30. To welcome, to embrace. There was no sophistry in what he said. There was no excellent speaking. In fact, in chapter 4 verse 13, the priests were really annoyed that these guys are not learned. They are not great speakers. They are not educated guys. They are not the intellectual of the society. But how their message convinces. You know why? It's the Holy Ghost. I said it's the Holy Ghost. It's in sophistry. So there was no... He just preached Christ. Look at Acts 3. The same thing. He just preached Christ. Acts 5. Look at Acts 5. Verse 30. Look at all those sermons. Acts 5 verse 30. Him had God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. It was the same content. And we are his witnesses of these things. The same thing. In Acts 6, Stephen, who began to preach, he's preaching. Acts 6. And look at something they said about Stephen. Acts 6 in verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit with which he spake. What was he talking about? Philip was preaching the scriptures. Philip was not trying to show his knowledge about commerce to relate it with the Bible. Or try to use... No. He was preaching Christ. Now, can I use illustrations? Why not? Illustrations, but that illustration must be so clear that that's not the message. And here he goes. They just talk to the message. Watch this. In chapter 7, verse 54, the Bible says, when they heard these things, now this is vital, they were caught to the heart. When they heard, they were caught to the heart. That's the word diaprio. D-I-A-P-R-I-O. Split in the two. A word used in Acts 5:33. In other words, when they heard that, it was the same message, the same spirit. And the Bible says, they gnashed their teeth on him. You know, when we used to act
dramas when I was younger. We used to act drama, and we thought gnashing of teeth is when you are in hell and you are screaming, yay, yay. But gnashing of teeth is not remorse, it's anger. That means the unbeliever in destruction will yet remain the way he is. Gnashing of teeth. At him, they were angry. In other words, just in the nature of God, the fact that you preach Christ doesn't mean it will be accepted. The same spirit, the same message, but they said no. Because Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. That means there will be he that believes not. It's not because people rejected what you're saying, it's not the reason to change what you were saying. It is not an imposition, it's a persuasion. By God, with his own words, by his spirit. What did they do? They killed him. Remember, we read John 16, where Jesus said, men will kill you, thinking they're doing God honor. We read that in the first service. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. So, don't feel like you didn't preach the gospel or you were not led by the Spirit because someone rejected what you said. It's a proof of God's love that people can make their choice. Who's following what I'm saying in here? Same spirit, same message, but different response. In Acts 8, Philip went down to Samaria. And what did he preach? Philip did not send a form to Samaria and then he said, questionnaires. What do you guys think about Jesus? Fill the forms. And they said, what do you say about the church? We think the church is not playing a social role. What do you think about music? I think all those songs that when they sing, for the cross, is too boring. Let's have something else, you know, like what? Give me a big J, J, justify me, E, elevated me, S, sanctify me, U.S. umbrella over me, Jesu, Oluwa me, oh, that's the way, okay, feel that, we'll change the kind of music. You know, he didn't send a questionnaire, I'm not joking, there was a song was sung in UI in 1996, okay, you know, you send a questionnaire out, but how do we address this issue now? What do we do? I think the problem in this area is that the people are having educational issues. They can't read and write. What do we do? We start schools for them. School. We start the schools. We get them math teacher, English teacher. When they see those the goodness of God that we are showing, they will tell them, it's all about Jesus. He went down to Samaria that had literate, illiterate. He had the educated, non-educated. And he said the same thing to everybody. The poor was in his congregation. He preached Christ. So know the beauty of this in that Acts 8, 5 and 6. He now was led to the desert where he met an Enoch. By the way, an Enoch is in the top rank in the society. Enoch is like a senator, a commissioner, a minister of today. Imagine if you had to join the convoy of a minister today and the guy is in his official car. And if you're in the Nigerian order, you know, it's a very different thing, you know. And then the guy comes up and God says, go in there and talk the gospel. And then you get in there and, you know, the first thing you're tempted to say is, God has blessed you, sir. I can see the hand of God upon you. I mean, look at this chariot, for example. Who doeth this but our Lord? He has favored you. In fact, sir, I read about you a lot on Facebook. You are a model. The only thing I'm just thinking is that, you know, with all this that you have, it's also good to have Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Or you met the guy studying the Bible and he has an iPad. You have a notepad. And he's checking Isaiah 53 and he's reading it out. Say, wow, my God. imagine this man is born again. You know, people say things like that today. When they see somebody who has wealth and has influence and is reading a scripture, they say, wow! That's what we are saying, kingdom influence. He asked him, understands thou what you read? That's the gospel. And the man said, how can I save some man should guide me? The Bible says, beginning from that very scripture in verse 35, what did he preach? Jesus. He didn't say, sir, before we go further, I have read some things in Punch about how the government is not doing well. You are not passing the right bills. Before I preach Jesus to you, as he enters into your heart, make sure you go back to the Senate. No. He just preached the same message. Hallelujah. Why is it so easy for a math teacher to stay with his subject? A physics teacher to stay with the subject? But a Bible teacher begins to crisscross. Why is it so easy for others to stay with their own mission? Why? He just preached Jesus. In Acts 10, in the house of Cornelius, we find Peter. What does he do? He simply preached the scriptures. That's what he did. Cornelius was a man of influence. A man of influence. A man that commanded soldiers. You know what? Peter dared to talk to him about forgiveness of sins. How would you talk forgiveness of sins to a military man? You want to do this? The same message that he preached in Acts 2, he preached in the house of Cornelius. Are you following this? In Acts 13, Paul preached the same thing to the deputy. Acts 13, 7 to verse 12. The doctrine of the Lord. Same. In Acts 14, verse 9. Or verse 8, Paul and Barnabas, they preached the gospel. In Acts 17, on Mars Hill, Athens, where you had the intelligentsia, those who were educated, who were the refined in the society. What else does he preach? Verse 26, verse 24, down to 28. Then he got to 31, because he has appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof, hallelujah, he had given assurance to all men that he raised him from the dead. Same thing. Same message. Has nothing to do with the people you are talking to. Same message. Same words. In Acts 19, he met guys who, you know, they were looking like Christians. They were looking like Christians, going to church, carrying Bible. He asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? He said, we have not heard whether there be Holy Ghost. Verse 2. Unto them were you baptized, unto John's baptism. Then the Bible says, he now preached Christ to them in verse 4. The same thing. The one that John said should come. In Acts 20. Acts 20. Verse 18. When he went to Ephesus, see what he told them. He said, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and temptations that befell me by the lightning weight of the Jews. And how, verse 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Can we take 21 together? Testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks. Repentance toward God. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I have not changed my message. A message that changes with people cannot be relied on in eternity.
it can't be called truth. Same truth. He preached it. Notice in 1 Corinthians 2. None of them try to add entertainment, sophistry, some effects to what they were saying. It must be left in its original state and status. Are you there? Let's read Acts 2 together. First Corinthians 2 from verse 1 to 4. Can we go? Let's go. And I, brethren. Let's go. Let's take it again. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 6, 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Now this is the text of this series. What does it mean, demonstration of the Spirit and of power? Ignore the verses and the chapters and go back to chapter 1. See how he built his case. I need your attention, Saints community. Look at verse 17. He says, for Christ sent me not to what? Christ didn't send you to conduct a ceremony. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach. Christ sent me not to do drama, but to preach. Christ sent me not to organize this and that to meet people's needs, but to preach. He didn't send us to do ceremonies. And that's why many folks they've been so confused. They think they need flyers, programs, events, food to reach people. No, you need your mouth and you have the Holy Ghost and you have the message. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach. Watch it. But to preach the gospel. The word euangelizo, euangelizo, used 54 times. It's so vital. 54 times. Watch this. Look at the danger of changing the method. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? Non-effect. You change the method, you change the message. He says, of no effect. The word there is kino. K-E-N-O-O in the Greek. It actually means nothing. Romans 4:14, you see that word. 1 Corinthians 9:15. 2 Corinthians 9:3. I'll take it again. Romans 4:14. 1 Corinthians 9:15. 2 Corinthians 9:3. And very vitally, Philippians 2:7, where he says, Jesus made himself of no reputation. That is, the gospel loses its power when you reduce the method to a ceremony. Say, to be of no effect. Verse 18. You learning something? Are you learning something? For the preaching of the cross. See how many times he uses the word preaching. For the preaching, remember the word, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching, the message. He calls it foolishness. The word foolishness is the word moria. M-O-R-I-A. Greek scholars tell us that it's something that people laugh at. The preaching of the cross, on its own, it brings derision. And because some of us don't want to sound stupid, then we now use wisdom of words. No. What you are about to get will be a non-believer. It says, it is to them that perish, moriah, foolishness. A word he uses singularly in this verse, in this particular epistle. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:21, we'll see that shortly. 1 Corinthians 1:23. 1 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 3:19, 1 Corinthians 1:21, 1 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 3:19. See what he says in 21. Let's take 21 together, everybody. Let's go. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Don't use the world's wisdom. They knew not God. It pleased God, hallelujah, by the foolishness of preaching to do what? Save. The foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. No, that's a figure of speech. It's foolish to the perishing. The foolishness of preaching to save. Watch this. That is what pleases God. Don't dramatize the gospel. Don't funkify it. Don't add your needle and thread to it. Don't remove the symbols of the message. Don't change the character of the message. It's not about a better society. It's not about reformation of morals. It's not about commerce. It's not about the society at all. It's about every society. It's about every man. It's not about a man's situation. It's not about gays or no gays. It's not about anybody but Jesus Christ, who is for everybody. Are you in church today? Look at 23. Are you there? Are you there? Look at 23. Let's take 23 together. But we preach Christ crucified. Hold on. If I preach Christ, giver of fish and bread, the cross is of no effect. If I preach Christ, reformer of society, if I preach a Christ that gives bread and fish, if I preach a Christ that reconciled two warring brothers, if I preach a Christ that was simple, I preach a Christ that's a nice guy, I preach a Christ, you know, that spoke against the Pharisees, if that's what I preach, there is no salvation in there. It must be fact specific. Christ crucified. Christ specific. Christ crucified. Watch what he says. He says, unto the Jews, he calls it a stumbling block. That's the key point. A stumbling block. The word stumbling block is the word scandalion. It means it makes people get offended. It points something out here that is critical. I mustn't preach Christ the businessman. Sometimes I want to weep. Somebody goes on television and begins to tell us how Christ taught you kingdom dynamics of investment. What in the world is that? And says, see how Christ reformed, see how he taught them how to save. See how he taught them kingdom. See how he taught them how to run business. No. Christ crucified. He came to die and live again forever in our hearts. This is our gospel. Hallelujah. Christ and the facts that he came to accomplish. It's a clear message. In verse 29, then he says that no flesh should glory in his presence. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The next verse says, according as it's written, he that glory, let him glory where? The gospel is such that rich and poor, great and small, when we see what Christ has done, it reveals our emptiness and his value for us. Our emptiness. The gospel must always expose your emptiness. For he will convince the world of sin. Our emptiness. You meet Jesus in the gospel and your PhD, your wealth, your properties all over the world now loses its value. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Say, not many wise after the flesh, not many noble, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It was when he was done with that, he said, and I, brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, when I came to you, even though I'm intellectually sound, I can be creative, Paul is saying. I'm intellectual. I'm a Roman citizen. I have quite a number of things I know. But I did not come in the excellency of speech or of wisdom. Not the excellency of speech. He uses the word huperoche. I'll spell it for you. H-U-P-E-R-O-C-H-E. It's used for something that is authoritative. You know, you can go somewhere and because you are a PhD holder, you bamboozle them and you think you are preaching the gospel. You can use your wealth and say, you go somewhere and say, let's do something about those guys at this area in Mushu. So you go there with your cars and everybody goes out. And of course, you intimidate them and say, we just brought Jesus to you, you know. He has made our lives. See, okay, you can see my G-Wagon. You want that too? Yeah, hallelujah. Someone told me, he said he drove his brand new car somewhere in Agbagada. Somebody I know. He said, I told those guys, I said, look, you guys are not happening. No. You think you're happening like this? Jesus is the one happening now. See my life. I said, bro, false convert, everybody you brought to church. False converts. Not with excellency of speech. The gospel should be such that the fisherman somewhere very far in the Niger Delta, the man who does cocoa farm somewhere very far in Ekiti, the man in Borno, they are all saying the same thing. If that is not it, one of them or all of them is not preaching the gospel. Christ crucified, not with the excellency of speech of wisdom. Look at the next verse. Verse 2. Can we take verse 2 together? For I determined not to know anything amongst you save Christ and him crucified. Verse 3. I was with you in much, in weakness, in fear and in trembling. That word fear and trembling, I'll tell you what it means in a moment. It's a word used for service and sincerity. See where it's used. Whenever you see the word fear and trembling, it's used for sincerity. In Mark 16:8, it's used for just trembling alone. But besides that, look at how Paul uses the word fear and trembling. 2 Corinthians 7:15. Are you learning something? Are you learning something, church? 2 Corinthians 7:15. All right, we still have a long way to go. And look at what he says. His inward affection are more abundant towards you, whilst he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you receive him. Sincerity. Sincerity. Humility. Ephesians 6 and 5. He directs those who serve, who are employees. Ephesians 6 and 5. See how he directs them. Ephesians 6 and 5. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, in singleness of your hearts, unto Christ. Again, Philippians 2:12. For God, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Singleness of heart. That is, I was with you in much weakness and singleness of purpose, humility and sincerity. So no pride in this. I'm not trying to show anything about myself. I'm not trying to show off my intellectual prowess or my wealth or my age or my experience. Fear and trembling. Can we take verse 4 together? 1 Corinthians 2. Are you there? Can we go? And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Watch this. He said, my speech, my message. Then he says, my kerugma. Can you remember kerugma? Was not with the enticing. The word enticing there is the word pethos. It means a skillful use of words, a mastery of words. like a debate. The way you toast. You know, when you want to marry a woman, you need to learn that. It's not evil. When you want to sell your product, you want to do a pitch, and you say to your to those who you want to do sell the products, well, I'm not trying to convince you. Or you want to tell the woman, say, well, I don't know, just want to tell you, Christ crucified, marry me. Well, you'll be forced to be crucified because she's going to nail you. So, but you see, there's a difference in selling a good and preaching the gospel. When you want to sell a good, you say, if you take this thing, I'm telling you, you will never be tired again. Have you said that before? Oh, you've not said that before. That means you don't market. You say, look, you say, if you do, have you seen some of these adverts? Omo, Omo, Super Blue, Omo. Was it brighter and it's super bright? And you see one dirty white shirt, you just put it inside and print it like this, and this is clean. And I used to see, I was young, and this will never happen. Brown, brown. The thing will be brown, it will come out as brown. So I thought maybe you will put it for long, then you now bring it out. But it's worse. In other words, we do not try to entice people. Come, all these things you are saying, come to cry. You start to shine. You start to shine. I told someone, I said, your problem will never stop. I'm preaching the gospel to you. He said, eh? I said, but you'll have a new perspective to them. Hallelujah. Say, but you rest assured, God's your Father. He lives in you by His Spirit. Hallelujah. You fellowship with Him. Glory to God. And you have a new perspective to life, new priorities, and you have eternal life. That's the gospel, right? Not, ha 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 ha. I say, Jesus, my barrenness, bulldozer, come and bulldoze your barrenness away. No. That is persuasive words of man's wisdom. And that is used a lot in Africa because of people's vulnerability. I called a preacher last night and I said, the latest result says about 90 million Nigerians are living in extreme poverty. I said, aren't the material prosperity gospel preachers tired? Why give people a false sense of hope? Why tell them that they will become rich? It's a lie. Why? Why say these things to people? Why tell a student, the minute you are born again, the Holy Ghost will quicken you, you start to pass your exams. And the guy starts coming to church, he joins all the prayer groups, he becomes a prayer group. His failure now becomes our prayer point in all the prayer groups. Why lie to people? Christ crucified. In fact, the message itself looks like weakness. A king, a ruler, a mighty man will show his strength by sacrifice. It's stupidity. But that's the power of God. Hallelujah. Are you still there? He says, my speech and preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration. Watch this now. The word apodexis, the demonstration of the Spirit. So, what is the demonstration of the Spirit? My preaching of Christ crucified. The word there is apodexis in the Greek. A-P-O-D-E-X-I-S. It means to shine a light on a surface. that fact that looks stupid will now be unveiled by the Spirit, because it will convince the world of sin. That's his work. The same words. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18, Christ crucified, the wisdom of God, the power of God. I stick with the method. I stick with the message. And the Spirit of God, He walks with that method. Who's following what I'm saying this afternoon? Come on. Let's see the danger of changing the method. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Now, don't forget, the wisdom of men is what appeals to the senses. This makes sense. You are not talking sense. All this one, you are just preaching scripture. People are hungry. They are hungry. You are saying, Christ is the bread of life. It's not just bread. What are you talking about? You are saying riches of His grace. Which is of His grace? I need money. I need to see Allah. So you don't get Allah. God. That their faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which is Christ crucified, the gospel. The danger of changing the method is producing false converts. Not just the message. Don't change the method. In 1 Corinthians 2:13 to 14, watch this. Start driving home subtly. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So as we preach the cross of Christ, His resurrection, who is the one unveiling Christ? Who is the one unveiling Christ? The Spirit. If you walk a miracle and people get healed, and then you tell them, you see what God has done? He can heal your marriage. He can heal your business. Even though that miracle was from God, that message didn't come from Him. You altered the message. As Jesus preached, as He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish, He turns to all of them. He says, labor not for that meat that perishes. I am the bread of life. Here is Jesus. He heals a man in John 5. And He says, sin not, lest a worse case and sickness will come on me. He put His emphasis not on the healing, but on His relationship with God. That was Jesus' focus. And that should be yours. Are you still there? So He says, as we preach Christ crucified, the Spirit is working. The Spirit is working. As I preach the words of the prophets, the words of Jesus, the words of Peter, the words of Paul, the same words running through all the epistles, the Spirit is working. Convincing men about Christ. I must never get in the way. Same method, same message. Sometimes I meet very untoward circumstances. 2 Corinthians 10. You learning something here? 2 Corinthians 10. And verse 3, here's Paul. He says, though we walk in the flesh, that is, I'm a lawyer, I'm a businessman, I'm a trader, I'm a doctor, I'm a whatever. Though we walk in the flesh, he says, we do not war after the flesh. The bad part is that people have used this for one funny spiritual warfare where they are fighting African gods. We don't war after the flesh. Every spirit in my father's household. And those spirits really enjoyed their stupidity.
Ah, every placenta that is buried. Say, where's your placenta? Do you know where they put it? Say, I don't know. Eh? You don't know. That's why you have been struggling. Now, what is wrong with African Christians? So a Christian now goes to his hometown. Grandma, where's my placenta? Who first gave me water? What is Paul dealing with here? He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. That's the only warfare that is taught in the epistles. That's the only warfare. Whereas Ephesians 6, we've taught you that before. So he says, we war, not after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare. He uses the word strategia, S-T-R-A-D-E-I-A, is a military term. The weapons of our warfare, the same word he used in 1 Timothy 1:18. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Can you see? They are not carnal. Stop doing nonsense. I don't know what to say again. They are not carnal. There's a difference between giving people food because they are hungry after hearing the word and telling them to come to church to eat so they can hear the word. There is a wide difference. Jesus gave people bread and fish after they had exhausted their own after a four-day meeting. He didn't say, come all ye that are hungry, I will give you bread and fish. He never said that. There's a difference between making, pay attention, a church comfortable in the sense that people are already here and the whole place is jam-packed. We need to, you know, get more facilities. Great. Than to induce people, to persuade people to come because of facilities. You are changing the method. That's exactly what you are doing. That's what you are doing. In China today, which is the fastest growing church in the world, they don't meet publicly. They meet in caves where people sweat under 90 to 120 degrees. And they have 12, 15 hour services. When I see that, I recognize the gospel Paul preached. This is it. It's not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. It is a warfare. It's not a fun fair. It's warfare. People get mocked in the process. They get killed in the process. They get persecuted in the process. They get rejected in the process. It is not a feel-good venture. Are you still there? Watch this. They are not carnal. It says, but they are mighty through God. The word carnal there means to use human element, to use human help. From the word sax. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through who? To God. To the pulling down. The word there means to overthrow. Pay attention. Strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:8 uses the same word in 13:10. To pull down. To overthrow. Stronghold. The word stronghold here is a word used for fortress. Sorry, fortress mission. It's the word ochuroma. O-C-H-U-R-O-M-A. Things that people have held for so long. Sometimes it's atheism. It's Islam. Sometimes it's even religious Christianity. Sometimes it's idolatry. Sometimes it's science. Pulling down people's fortresses. Sometimes it's morality. Pulling down strongholds. The strongholds does not refer to a spiritual cobweb on the expressway. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations. Watch it. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look at the word he uses.
He uses the word reasonings, logismos, a thinking, a knowledge. Our warfare is not fighting demons. Our warfare is sticking with the truth of the gospel as it overthrows people's opinions, views about God, eternity, salvation, and morality. It's a warfare. People are going to argue. It's to refute arguments. Then he says in the next verse there, he says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul has a way he addresses this thing. I like the word captivity. It's the word aichmatizo. I'll spell it for you. A-I-C-H-M-A-L-O-T-I-Z-O. A-I-C-H-M-A-L-O-T-I-Z-O. It's a military term of bringing someone under your control. It's used by Paul in 2 Timothy 3:6. It's to bring people's thoughts, Luke 21:24 too, and Romans 7:22. Luke 21:24, Romans 7:22, 2 Timothy 3:6. It's to bring that thought. Islam, Jesus is a prophet. No, he's not. He's the Savior. And the guy says, is this her? No, it's Christ Jesus. What's that? That's a warfare. I'm refuting an argument. I'm not saying, forget that nonsense. Do you know what happened to me yesterday? I just joined a company. I came in as a messenger. Today I'm the MD. Are you well? When did the focus shift to your experience? The focus is on Christ crucified. Refuting every argument. It's a warfare. You know, in warfare, you stay there till you win or the battle is over. Sometimes you preach once and people will gladly accept. Sometimes it will take days, weeks, and months. Church, in 40 years, God, Moses and God, they had two converts, Joshua and Caleb. And their outreach was to about 2 million people. 40 years. It's a warfare. Don't change the message. And don't change the method. It says, bringing every thought, watch this, captive to the obedience of Christ. My journey is still far, so pay attention. To the obedience of Christ. I've heard people say the obedience of Christ here means Christ's obedience. No. That's absolutely, it's too incompatible with what he's saying. The word obedience is the word hupakoe, H-U-P-A-K-O-E. It means to respond positively and totally. H-U-P-A-K-O-E. It's used in different formats. In Romans 1:5, Paul uses it to the obedience of the faith. That we preach the gospel and people obey it. Interestingly, in Romans 5:19, he uses it for the obedience of Jesus himself. But in most other places, Romans 6:16, Romans 15:18, Romans 16:19, and Romans 16:26, it's our obedience. Romans 6:16, Romans 15:18, Romans 16:19, Romans 16:26, 2 Corinthians 7:15, and Philippians 1:21. Our obedience and response to the gospel, or to obedience to others. In Hebrews 8:8, he uses it Hebrews 5:8, for the obedience of Christ. However, in other places like 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 1:14, and 1 Peter 1:22, it is our response to the gospel. 1 Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 1:14, and 1 Peter 1:22, our response to the gospel. So the obedience of Christ is this: I will war till that guy accepts the gospel. I will go back at it. I will stay there. The funny thing is, these scriptures have been twisted and people are fighting themselves rather than winning souls for Christ. I've told you, when a scripture, oftentimes when a scripture is misinterpreted, a major truth is lost. Who's following what I'm saying this afternoon? Let me see your hand. Look at the next verse. You learn something? Verse 6. And having in readiness to revenge. That word there means like to punish, to come against, is the word ekdikao, ekdikeo. To punish all disobedience. That's the thought pattern. We're out to punish Islam by our message. We're out to punish atheism. We're out to punish Judaism. We're out to defeat their arguments. Not in our strength, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, which is the power of God. And see what he says. He says, when your obedience is fulfilled. The word obedience there refers to your own response. He has said it in verse 3. We war in the flesh, but we do not what? War after the flesh. So we will defeat all arguments. We will war successfully when we don't do it in the flesh. When we stay with the message of the gospel. So as we close, watch this. Preaching is not a skill, though you can be taught. It's not a way of words, a way you use words. It's not tricking people to something. It's not enticing people. It's preaching an old, almost worn out truth. This message has been for over 6,000 years. It's not about to change. By the Spirit. Watch this. It's by the Spirit. It's about Christ. And the only method is movies? Music? Music? No. The lyrics. Because the lyrics can be preaching. The gospel is communicated not in behavior, not in creativity. It must be in what? Words. Whether spoken or written. A change of that means you are no longer relying on the Spirit of God. It's by His Spirit. It's a message of faith. It's not a message of logic. It's not a message of feel good. It's not a message of entertainment. Where you just feel good. My. Oh my. How are you guys today? Yeah. One time we had a trip. United States years back. And we had this trip where we had to go to many states in America. About 12 or so. I think. No. 8 of them. We went coast to coast. And we're visiting churches. And I'm not trying to put them down. But I remember the words of Pa S.G. Elton. And I just want to sound a note of warning to us. L.G. Elton, you know, was a missionary that came from England and stayed in Nigeria for many years. And he said that there's a brand of Christianity that has been exported from America to Nigeria. That's entertaining. It's a brand of exquisiteness. Extravagance and showbiz. And he begged. I learned he said it for about 12 years. Don't allow it into Nigeria. It's a shame. It has been allowed. Now watch this. The message of Christ. The method of Christ. Will only work with the Spirit of Christ. Don't change it. Don't try to amend it. Don't try to put something in it. Let's watch the danger. Because sometimes we could be creative. I was trying to talk about the visit that I had in America. And then I discovered that many of the churches had disco halls. I'm not joking, disco halls. They were playing ballads in some places. They were snookers. And they had, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I asked, why is all this there? You know, it's just to make people come every Friday.
come and relax. You know, we know that they give them those things in the world. So when they come around like that, the Christians who want to do it, they bring their unbeliever friends along those lines. And then I said, is it that the Spirit of God has left you? I said that. I said, you don't have to do this. I said, to the glory of God, Reinhard Bonnke does not do this. Billy Graham doesn't do this. Charles G. Finney, George Whitfield, John Wesley, Oral Roberts. They simply preached. And millions of people, I believe, responded to the gospel. Are you ashamed to go to their own disco hall and mention Jesus? Why must you create your own disco hall when the disco hall become a method of preaching? In fact, you know, as they were showing us those things, some of the people in our delegation who were already excited, you know, when you have not seen something before. Wow! 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 So when we get to Nigeria, who will tell? I said, come to Nigeria. Don't bring this kind of thing. What? These ones have lost the power of God. If you want to show off at all, move power. Okay, you even want to just show off. Our swag is called miracles. Okay, you want to preach later, but what about show them swag? Right? It's called miracles. It's not entertainment. Our swag is power. Saints Community Church is a missionary church. I ring it in our leaders all the time. We are not orthodox alone. We are missionary in orientation. Our perception is universal. Our focus is Christ. We are not tailored towards any segment of the society. We preach Christ crucified. And watch the next few years, things are about to change. Hallelujah. Just watch. Our leaders know what I'm talking about. The same old message all over the world. You don't need to do anything to it. Just preach it. If they say no, go back the second day. It's a warfare. How many of you did it not take days before you responded? Raise your hand. Or you are a quick believer. Some of us took years. Some of us months. Because somebody was worrying. Jesus said that he will lose his one sheep. He will go after till he finds it. This easy does it, make believe, quick fix is sending people to destruction. Because the message has been substituted by the wrong methods. Watch this. And there's no way you can raise a bastard like a child. If a man is not born again, let him speak all the tongues. Let him dance. Let him join all the workforce he can do. If he has never accepted the gospel, he's not a Christian. He will keep creating problems because he has never believed the gospel. You gave him a feel-good chocolate message. So when the chocolate is finished, or it's not tasting good, he will create problems for you. The gospel or nothing. That's what saves. Saints Community Church, don't yield to any temptation. Go out there like you have been doing. Sit people down and talk about Jesus. Stand up in the bus, talk about Jesus. Say it in the Keke Marwa, say it on the bus, say it everywhere, in the taxi, in the Uber, say it there. Just talk about Jesus. Go on the road, park your car and talk about Jesus. In your office, the discussion counter, get them to talk about Jesus. That is what we were given. Are you still there? We're not giving dinners, lunch parties, sea travel, so that we can entice people. No. We're giving that foolish message with a foolish method
but very powerful. It will save to the uttermost and save eternally. The danger of changing the method is you will have false brethren. They will act like believers, but they are not saved. Let me start to make an home run. Matthew 13. Jesus gave clear distinctions. In Matthew 13, something peculiar he does here. In Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, he talks about the good, the word, sown on a good ground. He mentions on different hearts. Watch this one now. In Matthew 13, he talks about the right message, but in different hearts. Matthew 13. He says, one will fall on a good ground. By the wayside. In 19, the wicked one will come, take it away, and the guy is not saved. In 20, he says, one is in the stony places. The same word, the good word, the word of God. He says, that one hears the word. He's excited. Woo! But then somehow along the line, he's not. Then there's one who hears it among thorns. He just doesn't become fruitful. He could be a Christian. The 23 is the one who received the good ground. He's saved. Then he begins to grow. In this issue, there's a good message, but then different responses. So you will always have different responses. I preached before and I was booed. I remember one time like that, a guy asked me to preach at his birthday. Interestingly, I chatted the guy up a couple of days, just a few hours ago, in 1994. He was having a birthday, and I preached, and he belonged to a cult, so I had to preach him there. And I began to talk about Jesus, and I began to laugh loud. And somehow, some guy just went there, and then he increased the volume of the music. Mr. Loverman, Shabba, you know that song? Just grab the guy, Mr. Loverman, Shabba. And I kept preaching. Yes. And they're saying all that. And at the end of the day, only one person, I hope he was really saved, responded to what I said. But I was not ashamed. I was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Sometimes they will abuse you. Just say, I'm praying for you. And I know one day salvation will enter your heart. You are a servant. You are not an analyst. Just say what you are told to say. If it saved you, it will save someone else. Hallelujah. So, the good word, but different grounds. But now watch the next parable he gives in verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, the enemy came, verse 25, and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now this is the wrong message. Tares. The word tares is from the Greek word zizanion. Z-I-Z-A-N-I-O-N. You know, this word is so vital that I have to call a Greek scholar, a Jewish scholar about this. And he said, Chris, see, this thing about Zizanion is that it said today we don't see it anymore in the land of Israel. But it looks so much like wheat, but you cannot eat it. I said, so how do you know it is not true? He said, you will never know till you eat it. I said, what? He said, exactly. He said, so Jesus, or like you call him, Yeshua HaMessiah, that's what he said, must have used a word to typify those who don't genuinely serve Jehovah. And so he uses that word so many times in verse 25, 29, 26, 27, 29, 30, 36, 38, 40. Zinanon. It resembles it. It looks like it. But deep down his heart, he just wants a problem solved. He's looking for a wife, a settled home. He's not in need for eternal life. He's not in need for forgiveness of sins. He's not in need for relationship with God. He just wants to solve a problem. He will clap with us. He will sing with us. But he's not of us. The interesting thing. So when that guy spoke and he told me the true meaning of Zion, I now saw that Jesus said they will grow together. That it's until the very end. Wow. Wow. This is the danger of preaching the wrong message. In John 15, Jesus talked about the branch that abides in him. He said, but there's also branches that are not planted in me. But you see them around me. They are also branches, but they don't abide in me. He said, they will be destroyed. Wow. We must hold the gospel with trembling and fear, lest we be responsible for so much that my mouth cannot utter. So the preacher of the gospel, I close finally, he must remain faithful. I believe that Africa will have the gospel prevail in this continent the moment we separate Africa's challenges from what Christ has done. Church, I'm telling you, we'll see firebrand, sincere Christianity. It has happened before. And I believe God, it will happen again. So, what do we do? That's why we pray. A message that needs your skill does not need your prayer. We pray because it requires spiritual effort with my obedience to save people from eternal destruction. Paul will say, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Romans 15:30-31, that I may be delivered from them that believe not in Judea. So he prayed for the deliverance of ministers, because ministers will come, you and I, against people that are wicked. Sometimes those who are wicked can be believers. A believer can act like an unbeliever when he walks in the flesh. What else does he say? He said, pray for boldness. Ephesians 6:19. Colossians 4:3. Why should he say pray for boldness? Because you might be mocked. You know, when you are mocked, I don't know whether you have ever felt ashamed before. I've felt ashamed many times before. And you feel like, what am I saying? And they are looking at you like this. And you feel like, hey, like their eyes have swallowed you. Because this message doesn't make sense. But it makes eternity. And I've got to be bold. In Acts 4, they prayed in verse 30, 29 to 30. Say, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness. Don't be creative. Pray for boldness. Don't try and create fiction. Pray for boldness. And that signs and wonders might be done through the name of thy only child Jesus. Pray. A true messenger of the gospel is a prayer person. He's full of prayer because he knows it is not by might. It's not by power. It's not by planning. Much people are doing planning, organizing, and strategies. They are not praying. Neither are they preaching. Paul says, pray for us. All utterance may be given unto me, that I may preach the gospel boldly. That's what Paul said. We pray. In Acts 17, when he got to Berea, he met intellectual people. The Bible says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were intellectuals, professors. But Paul did not change the method. He preached the scriptures. That was why the only thing they searched diligently, whether it was so, were the scriptures. And many of them believed. Not all of them believed. Acts 17, 11, 12. Later on, he got to Athens. As he mentioned resurrection, they started to laugh. Ah! What do you think we have, man? You have a degree from which school? Usu. I'm arbitrary, man. You know, this thing can only appeal to guys who went to poly. That's what they were saying. But we thank God for boldness. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. For they are mighty through God. Hallelujah. We are spirit enabled. Hallelujah. Paul says our sufficiency is not of ourselves. We don't think anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. I'm an able minister of the New Covenant. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by the Spirit of God. I'll preach the gospel. I'll preach the gospel. The way it ought to preach. The way it ought to be preached. I'm a servant. I'm faithful. I'm not relying on my intelligence. I'm not relying on my finances. I'm not relying on my creativity. I've got one message. Christ Jesus. One ability. The Spirit of God. I've got one method. Preaching and teaching. And I'm bold. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Stand to your feet. Let's just give God praise. Lift those hands. Lift those hands.